This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, it's a football Friday. People are going to want to talk to you about football. Give them the number.
It's also an epic Friday, so go ahead and hit us up.
You're already on that mood.
Go ahead and hit us up at 1-800-919-3776. And for the people that
for the white people
out there and the square people, Nina is nine and shooting dice. So I'll say it to you one more time. I'll say it slowly, and I will not use any urbanomics. Let's go. 1-800-919-3776.
Yeah, because you put a T at the end of that 100.
Yeah, 100.
Earlier. And that's a D, like, yeah.
And if you can't get us there, guess what else they can get us at?
Where else can
we? Are we over 5,000 yet?
Wait, you know what?
Are we over 5,000 yet?
I heard a no. I don't like it.
Dude,
we're 20 away. 20. All right, here we go. This is what we're doing. If we don't have 5,000 by the end of this segment, we're not taking a single call this show.
Right.
That's it. We don't take a call. That's it. You want to be on the show, you follow the show. 20.
20.
It's just 20 people. 20. And I'm not begging. I'm just demanding it. That's what I'm doing. This ain't begging. This is demanding. Demanding it.
We can't get Ed Reed around here.
We can get Ed Reed.
And okay, so if you can't get us there, get us on Barton Hahn on the tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get us on the tweet. DM Allen.
Remind
on the Grizzam.
Remind me, by the way, I got
naval
shot that I definitely have
tats.
To show you.
Mm-hmm. And if you're over 40 and you still got a barbed wire one, shame on you. But send us a tattoo of it. Send us a picture of it. If you still got the Buff Bagwell, you know, barbed wire over your arm and you ain't updated it, shame on you.
The barbed wire now looks like the fence got knocked over.
Exactly.
You're so old it just fell over.
Like a rhino ran ran through the fence. It just pulled all the
like phrasing.
It looks like Christmas lights and like when you take out of the box. It's all tangled and mangled. But yo,
and Bill, do your damn job, Bill. You think I'm going to let you off on a Friday because it's football Friday? I'm going to let you off. But tell them where else they can get us at, Bill.
Snap face, make some shot or whatever it is.
By the way, update.
Can't wait.
Where are we at now? Let's see. I just want to check.
No, we got updated news already.
We are 5,013.
I got it. See what I'm saying? Thank you.
All people. We love you. So now we can take calls.
You may enter.
There it is. All right. See, you may enter.
I won't deny.
Choose wisely.
Please.
So, Bart, I'll tell you what. When we're looking at teams here in New York, and the last two years, I've done nothing but complain about the fact that all we're doing is rebuilding, right? Everywhere you look, aside from the Yankees, everybody has been doing some type of rebuild, reset, tank, draft picks, blah, blah, blah. Like, tired of it, right? Can we talk about what, like, I'd like to talk about games that matter so we can, like break down games and use our sport expertise. I'd like to talk about matchups in the NBA. I want to talk to you about matchups in the NFL. I want you telling me what you want to see a team do. But we never get those games. Because the problem is the teams usually stink, and you're playing better teams, and all we're doing is now, is this guy good enough? Is that guy good enough? Is he going to develop? But you know what we've got now with the Giants? We've got something now that regardless of what happens to this season, I don't care how it ends at this point, where you are right now is you are playing meaningful games. And when you have a rookie head coach and a young core, isn't that what you're hoping to have? You just want to get to the end of the season. We want to compete, and we want to be at the end of the season. We want to be there in meaningful games. And whether it's experience that you can tuck away for another season, or you know what? Maybe you come of age right now. One way or another, that's where you want to get to eventually, so we could stop just, I'm only watching players. I can't really care about the team's success because I'm worried about the draft pick. Well, you're not anymore. The Giants have a chance. Is it a great chance? It's a good enough chance to win this division. Good enough. Again, 4-7 is an unsightly record. But if you really look deeper into this, they have a chance to win 4 in a row. 4 in a row is significant. I know it's the Seahawks, and everybody's going to... They have no chance of beating the Seahawks. All right, bet. Let's talk about it. You tell me why they have no chance to beat that Swiss cheese defense. You tell me why they have no chance. Because there is a chance. And that's all you want when your team is young and developing, and you're now at the end of the season, towards the end, cold weather. FBI gives the Giants a 35% chance to win this division right now. It goes to 62 if they get a win. That's how big this game is this weekend. You've talked about the Legion with no boom in Seattle right now. And I'm feeling like for the first time in a long time, let's talk about Giants Seahawks, not as a, is this guy good enough? Is that guy good enough? No, let's talk about it like this. Bart, tell me how the Giants can win this game.
Well, they got to win it by taking advantage and exploiting this Seattle Seahawks porous defense, right? But they have gotten better, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. I don't call them snacks anymore. I call him Mill. That's his new nickname.
Mill?
Because he looks like he's eating the baby, so there's no way that he can be a snack. Ain't nothing snacks about Damon Harris anymore, but we know that he's a big landmine that just sits there and just eats up and gobbles up space, which allows the Seattle Seahawks linebackers to flow. You know, they brought in Carlos Dunlap, and Jamal Adams is back. So Griffin is back. But they have to be able to stay the course. They got to take the air out of the game. Where they really got to win this game is defensively. And that's where the pressure should be. Because I think at some point we were letting the Giants defense off the hook. We were giving them a pass. But when you look closer at what they've done in bringing in players, they've invested heavily in this defense. This is a defense that has 2 first-round draft picks at the defensive tackle position, DN, whatever you want to call it, depending on if they're in the 3-4, 4-3. They went out and they got the number one corner on the market in James Bradbury. Then they traded some picks to Cleveland and brought back Peppers, who's a first-round draft pick. They went out and got the number one linebacker on the market in Blake Martinez. So you tell me why we shouldn't expect this team to compete and compete at a high level.
McKinney's now healthy. And he's playing.
McKinney's healthy.
Excited about him.
They went out and they got Logan Ryan as well.
Yeah.
A guy that was sought out from a lot of guys. So when you say Logan Ryan, Bradbury, Leonard Williams, Blake Martinez, Dexter Lawrence, Julius Peppers, those are 6 players. Tell me what team, you know, has six players that have a name, have a brand on their defense, right? So with 6 out of the 11, you should be able to compete at a high level. So, I mean, I'm expecting now. And this is the tough part, because before, everything that the Giants gave us and showed us, we was like that. We gave them a that a boy. It was like it was a compliment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's not about playing meaningful games. It's about playing games in which you expect to win and believe that you can win. That's what I wanted to see this team do. And they are playing a game that, yes, the task looks insurmountable. Looks like maybe they won't be able to get it done. But this is also a measuring stick to see, okay, how do we match up with a team that is a farther along in the process? How can we match up defensively? How can we stop arguably an MVP candidate? How can we stop arguably the most indefensible receiver in the game?
This is going to be a great test. Do not play him one-on-one.
Well, we're going to see.
Don't do that.
Listen. They have branded James Bradbury as a Pro Bowler, right? They've said that arguably he's the best defensive player on their team. Well, I remember when we had arguably the best defensive player in football, and Darrell Revis, and we didn't look to him and say, "Do not put Revis against Megatron by himself." So if you want to be the truth, if you want to make a name for yourself, listen, this is late in the season, and sometimes we say in the regular season you make your name, in the postseason you make your fame.
Yep.
Well, guess what? The Giants are in postseason mode because every game is pivotal right now in December. So if Bradberry wants to become a household name, he can't get deboed like Big Play Slade got deboed last week. He lost some respect on his name. And I looked at some of those defenders. You know, I looked at some of those defenders. We'll see what Julius Peppers has. Let's see what kind of smoke he got when he got to hit that grown man with. But I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, is it an 8-pack or is it just 4 double packs put together in one? You know what I mean? Because when I looked at the Eagles coming down, they hit him. I saw that defender, I forget his name is, and Clay was on the outside. He ran a slant and he hit him and he bounced off and it looked like he was shook. That he had a clean shot on his dude in his chest and his abs.
Nothing.
And his abs won. It's like, hold on. It was my whole body versus his abs. Ab 1 and 4. Because he hit him at ankle. So it was 1 and 4. It wasn't 1 and 2. It wasn't same level. It was 1 and 4. I lost to this dude's first and fourth ab. Is this dude that strong? Yeah, he that strong, dog. They ain't out here jumping me. No, they ain't jumping, dog. It just Metcalf and his abs. So I want to see what type of smoke they got, because they're going to get it at both levels. They're going to get it at the physicality. They're going to try and punk the Giants. And I want to see if the Giants got some fight in them, and see if they got some grit. Because if I know anything about Schottenheimer, I understand that he's going to try and establish a run, especially now that he has Hyde and he has Carson there. So we're going to see what Blake Martinez is all about, because you need every pick that Dave Gettleman went out and signed, every acquisition that he went out and signed, not Len drafted,
Williams.
That he signed to be able to make an
yes.
effect. When you talk about it, whether it's Leonard Williams, whether it's Bradberry, whether it's Blake Martinez, whether it's Julius Peppers, those are 4 impact players on 4 different levels, all imported in to make a difference. They better make a difference, or you're going to start, you know, saying, get them in, what were you doing, and acquiring these pieces. They can't get us over the hump. Now, listen, this is the beautiful part. Right? It hasn't been the season that they wanted, but they're right where they need to be because the rest of the division has come back to them.
Right.
No, by no means is 4 in anything a successful season. But now you get an opportunity to still get a chance to evaluate your team and get them experience in a tough division and a tough race to see how they perform and act when the heat is on. Pressure bust pipes, but it also makes diamonds. You need to know which one you got, who you got on your team that are pipes and who you got on your team that are diamonds. That when stuff gets tough, that they come up big. Saying, you know what, I'm going to compete and this is all we got. That's all we need.
I love the fact that these games matter for exactly what you said there. Because so many times when it's all right, you're well out of it, guys perform with no pressure, and you don't know if you can believe it or not. Because it's like, well, that other team you were playing, they really didn't get up to play you. Like this stuff matters. And again, as we mentioned, I know the record at one point was 1-7. But look at some of those games. They were close with the Bucs. That Eagles game, they should have won that game. Cowboys at Dallas. That's a game those are games they should have won. So maybe the first couple of weeks of the season, they were outclassed a little bit, right? That Bears game was a mess. But as they started to figure it out, with a new coach, it does take time. They had no preseason, remember. I'm telling you, it works out for the Giants that the division was that bad, because it allows you now to say, we finally got ourselves on point. And we're actually still in it for these games to matter. Because how many times have you said, you know, wow, what a great second half they had. It's a shame. If only they could have played some of these meaningful games.
Right.
You know, look, what did everybody say last year when the Jets finished 6-2? And it was like, yeah, but those games, you can't really, you know, those games don't matter. Well, these games do. And that's what I like. And I'm telling you, this is all you're asking for. And this is what matters most. Now, of course, I say, how do they beat the Seahawks? And already, you get these responses. I get Nando on Twitter. Come on, if Daniel Jones doesn't play, there's no way they can win with Colt McCoy. I don't think the Giants' defense can stop the Seahawks' weapons. So he's saying no chance. Right? We've got that one. We've got Rob predicting 34-17. He's a complete blowout. That's what he's saying. Like, I've got another Seahawks fan saying zero chance. Ryan Miller. Giants are not going to beat my Seahawks. Defense might not be what it used to be, but the offense is. So I've got all I've got is negative. I want to hear how can they win. And Lorenzo in New Jersey is going to tell me. Go ahead, Lorenzo. Come on, Zoe.
Hey, what's up, baby? Yeah, that's it. So, how you guys doing, man?
Good.
Much respect to Speedy. And Bart, man, much respect, man. I'm a Giants fan, but I respect your game, buddy.
Thank you, Brody.
But listen, let me just say this, and I've been telling everybody since week four, even though we was in a losing streak, that our defense is pretty good. I've been telling everybody that for the past 3 weeks. So if our defense and Bradberry, number one, comes up to play, and we have a good running game, I say if Gallman gets over 100, it's going to be a closer. We're going to win the game. I really believe that, and I've been telling everybody that all week, that our defense should show up. And then on another hand, Peppers, he's just like, I'm going to say the other
guy. It's guy's Jabril, name? By the way.
Jabril, yeah, Pepper. I said Julius. I call him Julius.
That's
funny.
The guy on the Seahawks, what's his name?
Cam Chancellor. Oh, you're talking about
Jamal Adams. Him and Peppers play the same position.
Yep,
you know what I'm saying?
Jamal's looking for sacks. That's all he's about.
Yeah,
you want to get him in pass protection. He's always looking for a sack. That's all he wants to do is sack the quarterback.
Right, and Peppers got that jersey blood. He want to win. And I just think if we do our thing on defense, that we will have a great chance of winning.
I think defense is what it's going to be about. And you know what, Zoe? And thanks for the call. That's always been the MO about the Giants. I've said this all the time. Certain franchises, when they're good, it's because this aspect of their game is on point. When it's the Mets and they're good, it's their pitching.
Right.
The Mets, every time they have a good run in them, it's mainly because they've got great pitching. Right? That's just what it is. The Knicks, it's when they have a tough physical defense. You know what? The Giants, same thing. The defense chant, everybody, originally, I know all the Giants fans know this, but not all the young guys do. That defense, that chant, that started defense at Yankee Stadium, and it was for the Giants. That's it. Defense has been in the DNA of this franchise since the beginning of time. And the problem was, for a long time, they focused too much on offense and not enough on that defense. Well, it sounds like this year, at least, it's coming back. And that's what you've got right now. The last couple of games, listen to it. I'll tell you, because, yes, they gave up 37 to the Cowboys. Brutal. They gave up 36 to a beatdown 49ers team. 39ers is who was that calling them?
Yeah, 39ers.
Right? In week three, when they were all beat up. But since week five, this is what they've allowed. 19, 22, 25, and that was the Bucs, and that was at the very end when Brady got them, 20 and 17. That's it. That's the points they're giving up, man. 19, 22, 25, 20, and 17, and then another 17. That's pretty good. And if you can keep teams to an average of about 21 points a game, you've got a chance to win, especially against a Swiss cheese offense, a defense like you have with Seattle.
They have a chance, Bart.
I'm telling you, they have a chance to win this game. And if they do, guess who's next? Your favorite player, Kyler Murray, and the Arizona Cardinals, who are in a bit of a tailspin right now.
Catch them at the right time. It's all about the right timing, right? And the Giants are trending up, and you know Arizona's trending down. But here's the dilemma. This
got to win this one first.
And here's the mistake. Here's the mistake that they can't make. They can't go man to man. But they can't be predictable against Russ, because if you go man-to-man, then you got your eyes turned back to Russ. He just takes off. He's one of the best out of the pocket. They have to do what Buffalo did. Keep him in the pocket and turn him over. You know, Russ went through like these three games where he led the league in turnovers, something that's really not, you know, indicative of usually what we're used to seeing when we watch Russ. So they got to make sure that they can get him out of pocket, but make sure that they hold up the edges and hope that those DNs can keep him in the pocket, because they let him out and he do these, you know, off-schedule plays, it's going to be a long, long day. Now, you can trust Bradberry, or you can take Bradberry and put him on Lockett and say, okay, lock it down. We'll double Metcalf.
Which is what you should do.
Because a lot of times people think, oh, put your best player on their best player. Mm-mm. It's very few people that can match up with him. You think about Ramsey. Ramsey did the best against him because Ramsey's a big physical guy. Ramsey's like 6'2", you know, 205. He's a heavy-handed guy. You know, but you think about big play Slay, how great he is. He got his butt took to the woodshed and got his ass spanked. 177 yards. If you let him get going, then he's going to ignite everybody else, because he's the tempo setter. He's the guy that sets the tempo. He's the energy guy. You know, so if they want to do that, they got to make sure they go zone. We're going to see what this defense is about. We're going to see what this coordinator is all about. And we're going to see how can they get guys going. The good thing is they don't have to go out there and deal with the 12th man because the 12th man don't exist this
year.
That's
another great point. You don't have the noise and the aspect. And that's, of course, on the offensive side. But, and this is the big question, I know everybody's responding at Bart Hahn this way, and that's if Daniel Jones doesn't play. That's the biggest question. Daniel Jones spoke yesterday. We won't know. And maybe they're just going to fake it all the way up to
kickoff. Fighting Joe Judge.
And then it'll still be Colt McCoy. And I understand. Then you'll have that, there's no way they can win with Colt McCoy. All right, you'll say that. He hasn't ever won a game in December, Bart. You know that? He's never won a game. How's that possible?
Has he ever started a game in December? He got the best job ever. He's got the best job ever. Well, maybe with the Redskins.
He and Mike Glennon.
Maybe it was the Redskins and maybe with the Washington football team.
Right. He did play at the end of the season with them. But, all right, so here's Daniel Jones yesterday. We're looking for updates from him, of course. So, first asked with that hammy, how he's feeling.
Feeling good, and it's healing, recovering, so just trying to take it day by day, do what the trainers and doctors are telling me to do, and follow their guidance on all that stuff. So it's feeling better, and certainly working hard to make sure it keeps going that way.
Anthony played the wrong cut. Yeah. That's Eli Manning, obviously.
I was about to say, Manning sounds like Eli Manning, man.
Like Anthony must have played an old Eli Manning cut.
Yo, for real, was that Eli for real? Because I closed my eyes and said, yo, this is Eli Manning. He sounds just like that
had to have been Eli. All right, let's get the right Daniel Jones cut. Now, this is he's doing all he can to get back on the field for this game Sunday. Take a listen.
As far as my approach, I think I certainly want to play and want to be out there, and doing everything I can to get out there. So, where that puts me or how I recover depends on what I do day to day. And that's where my focus is on, what I'm doing and focusing on healing it up.
Now, clearly we have an issue.
This is Gemini
Man stuff.
It's just Gemini Man
on me right there.
Is this Gemini Man? I feel like I'm watching a Will Smith movie, man. This dude sounds like, I can't tell the difference, man. Like, what the hell?
Oh, my God. Joe Judge, by the way, still no decision on Daniel Jones. He's going to practice maybe today, see how he looks. And then, of course, they've got to get on the plane and head out to Seattle. So we'll see how that goes. But it does. That's a big part, obviously, Bart, right? Obviously, it's a big part because even if he plays, the threat of the run is there, even if the hammy's not right. You still have to worry about the threat of the run.
See, but here's the thing. You can't push Daniel Jones out there because you're saying in your head, but you're telling yourself, hey, I got five games, right? I got five games. I may need to win one, maybe two.
No, you
got to
win two. Got to win two more, at least two. You got to get to six wins to have a shot.
Right, so I got to win at least two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling yourself, which of the two I can get? Do I want to try and tell these guys to go out there and push and then maybe pull his hamstring and I lose him for the year? Or do I want to say, let me put him on the shelf. And I understand that I may concede that I may not have a great chance of winning this game with Chase Daniels. But I do need 2 weeks and maybe our best games to win it are the last three. So those are the decisions, the calculations that are being made. And if those calculations are made, I don't know if you even want to put Daniel Jones on an airplane. You might want to let him stay here and just get treatment because you don't want him dealing with pressure and the swelling that takes place.
And your next two games are home, and it's Arizona and Cleveland. Now, Cleveland, that's a tough physical running team, and their defense is tough. Garrett's obviously a guy you
got to try and get Arizona. Arizona's got to be your mark.
Arizona's a game you got to get, and I'm telling you, that Dallas game has to be a dub. You have to hope by then the Cowboys have shipped the cars, as Canty always likes to say. It's one of my favorite sayings. And that it's, they're pretty much checked out. Because you're at, obviously Dallas is playing at New York, too, so they're on the road. All those things could factor in here. So if you're looking at the two possibles, those are, to me, the two possibles. But if you steal one here, now things get interesting. There's something I was thinking about as we're talking about this Giants stuff.
Right? Really?
And it's like, and again, 800-919-3776 is the number on this game. Because this game is, to me, like the first time in a while one of these, developing teams in New York is playing something where you're like, these are the games that put hair on your chest for the young players.
Yeah.
And you want this. These are the meaningful games late in the season. And you always say, all I want is a meaningful game late in the season, so the team, I can see they're trending in the right direction. And they are doing that. I'm sorry, everybody. 4-7 is 4-7, but they've also won, they've won three in a row. Okay, they've won four of their last six, and the two in the middle that they lost were absolutely winnable, which, that means six in a row. I know that sounds crazy, but they had the chance to win those games. So this is a team that is definitely trending in the right direction. And so for Joe Judge, it's a sense of pride for him and what they've been able to develop here, even with the injuries they've dealt with and mistakes they've dealt with some of the young players, and right now dealing with Daniel Jones being injured and hoping to get through that. But I'll tell you somebody else that should be sitting right now in his office, sitting back, maybe having a cigar, right? A bottle of scotch on his desk. Hey, Mr. Mara, are you paying attention over here? Because you can see, all right, our team, we're winning now. So are you going to fire me? You're going to fire me now? Like, this is when you get rid of the GM, when year three of the rebuild. And again, I'm not saying this is my opinion. I'm telling you, if I'm him, my attitude, if I'm Gettleman, is I'm looking at all the fans and I'm saying, you want to fire me now? Year three of the rebuild. And look how we're trending. And look at the head coach.
I'm known to walk into parties, just start screaming, Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, chew it and do it.
That's random.
I'll be brutally honest with you, I have no idea how that was played.
Really? Anthony, I thought you did that on purpose.
Man, that was masterful, man, especially coming off
the air. I bet you Rayman. Rayman's in the other studio, and he's just like, I got to just jump in here.
I looked over to it, and it was just playing. And I'm going to go aliens, and everything's falling apart.
It's Gremlins.
Did you get a supply? Are you holding out on us?
Chew it and do it.
You hanging out? Maybe we get an unofficial sponsor. Chew it and do it.
I'm just saying.
Blue Chew.
But do you think, am I crazy to say, like, I am Dave Gettleman. I'm looking at Mara, I'm looking at Tish, I'm looking at all the fan base, and I'm going, this is when you fire me. When we're trending the right direction. Look, first of all, no one has a 1,000 batting average in the draft. Yeah. And sometimes you make a signing or two that don't work out. But does he still have his fingerprints on a lot of the decisions made on a team that is trending in the right direction? Am I right or am I wrong?
A little bit, but you know,
a little bit.
It's one of those things, right? Like, where did he luck into something because he went with Daniel Jones and went by, like, the more and more of these other quarterbacks.
You call it
class,
luck. I'm saying call it an opportunity.
The more Sam Darnold struggles, the more and more Baker Mayfield struggles, the more and more Lamar Jackson struggles, the better he looks by saying, you know, I waited and but the problem is Saquon Barkley hasn't lived up. Now, if Saquon Barkley was looking like the kid out there in the Panthers, McCaffrey. If he was out there looking like McCaffrey, then you'd be like, you know what, I understand it because we got McCaffrey.
I'm noticing McCaffrey's getting hurt a lot too now.
Yeah, but that would just, you know, he got that rib sauce. You know what I mean? But you got McCaffrey, and then you have your quarterback. Now, he did it backwards, but his quarterback, I think, is going to maybe save the day for him. The problem is, you know, is what he did on the other end, the other pieces that he brought in. His draft pick this year, he missed out on.
How is the Leonard Williams trade looking now after tore him up for it?
It's looking better, but here's the problem. Leonard Williams is not locked up. He's franchised. So now that means the price for interior linemen, if Leonard Williams has earned himself money, is going to cost you $17 million a year.
My quarterback's not going to cost me money for a couple of years.
But is he a $17 million player? I still let him go and try and get into Yannick Ngakoue, try and get into the Judon, try and get into
the Yannick, by the way. We don't need him calling the show complaining again.
Just Google it.
Your mama name, you called you Yannick, I'm going to call you Yannick. Yannick, ain't nothing unique about you. Yeah, there's a lot unique about you, but actually he's a good kid.
He's pretty damn good, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, he's got some hits and he's got some misses. And really, I think it may come down to, does Joe Judge want to continue to work with Dave Gettleman, or does he want to pull a Adam Gase where he goes up there and he dry snitches and gets his guy taken out and gets the guy in that he wants to work with? Because there's been a lot of, whether it's Scott Pioli, whether it's Dorsey, you know, some other guys out there have a better hitting average than Gettleman in recent years. But, you know, so far you can say the team is okay. They're doing good. But are you ask yourself, how many of these draft picks were Joe Judge's draft picks saying, hey, I want to kind of, you know, bring this guy in, bring this player in?
You know, it's a second pick of the draft.
Now, what I do like,
and you can't make a mistake. You just can't.
What I like about what he does, it seems like he's better at evaluating players that's already played, rather Bradbury coming in, Blake Martinez, you know, you can say Leonard Williams, you can say Jabril Peppers. I don't know why I want to call him Julius. Jabril Peppers. You know, he's better at evaluating talent that's already, you know, been there, opposed to being able to foresee what somebody could become. Because I think if he would have drafted Mekhi Becton this year, there's no way that Gettleman would have got out of here. We would have been saying, nope, we got what we've been looking for, something special. And he had opportunity to get that. Not once, twice.
Mm-hmm.
Passed on Sam Darnold. That could be a controversial pick. Passed on Lamar Jackson that won a championship. He passed on Josh Allen.
Passing on Josh Allen looks like the bigger mistake now than passing on Sam Darnold.
He had opportunity to get every single one of them. He decided to go with a running back that has a short self-life.
But isn't Daniel Jones very similar to Josh Allen, though?
He is. He to me, he's a more polished Josh Allen. The problem is, can you go out and get
Josh
him a
Allen
Diggs?
Better weapons.
Yeah. Can you go out and get him a Diggs? Can you surround people around him? Mm-hmm. That's the question. And to me, I think
Slayton was a good find. Right. You know, I mean, obviously Ingram is a maddening player because
Dexter Lawrence
he's an enigma.
Lawrence still trying to figure it out.
You want to go back also to the corner, the Baker that got into all that trouble. You want to go back to that.
Exonerated. So
yes, but still, like, it's just, you know, that was one where you went with a low character guy that you were, you know, everybody knew had red flags, and you went with it anyway, and now he's not on your team. Yeah. So I told you, no one bats 1,000. But I'm saying if I'm him, I'm already seeing him, I'm already getting the tweets. Will, you know, Gettleman needs to go, period, end of story. But if I'm him, I'm looking at the, like, you really, like, this is year three of
we won a division. We won a division.
And
in
you
year
got a
three.
Shot at making the play. Look, I don't care.
We won a division in year three. Like, bro, you won 6 games. Stop.
This is where when they hang the banner, right? They put it off to the side, like, division. It's like, you know, 20 years. Daddy, what happened in 2020? Yeah. We don't talk about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's, we're not going to talk about that season.
Or it's the year that
But they
became.
Won the division. Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about that.
It ain't going to be no record on there. It's going to be the only one where they don't have a record of them winning the division. It's going to be divisional champs this year.
It's like when the Jets won 10 games but lost week 17 and didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
it's like 10-5. That was a great season. No, it was not. Not a great season. 800-919-3776. Ryan's in the Bronx. Ryan has a very strong take on Colt McCoy. Go ahead, Ryan.
I cannot look. Get Colt. Look, Chris, you suit up and go in for Daniel Jones.
McCoy, call you Chris.
Chris?
Who's Chris?
Are you kidding me? Think about what you're saying.
Did you call him Chris Collinsworth? You called him Chris Collinsworth? Who's Chris?
Yeah, look, names are screwed up right now for more reasons than one. But,
oh, good, bro.
Wait. Right now, Colt McCoy, if he has to go in there for more than one game, we're not going to go anywhere.
See, but this the one. This,
I have absolutely no faith in him.
But this absolutely. This the one when you say, you know what, we're going to sit him down because we know we're probably going to take an L on this one. What we don't want to do is force our young quarterback to come out there. And if he blows that hamstring, it's a wrap. There's no chance of winning. So you might want to save it until you have your best opportunity to do that. And I think the next best opportunity is next week.
Who did he sound like? You remember this SNL character? Why can't I think of it? Somebody's got to tweet at me because I know I'm not the only one that heard in his voice.
Oh, man.
It was an SNL character. He was a black comedian. And he played this, like he was in a velvet robe. And they even made a movie about it. What the hell was that? I can't think of it right now. But I heard his voice and the way he was talking, his inflection. And I'm like, that sounds like.
It wasn't Tracy Morgan, was it?
No, not Tracy Morgan. No, it was before Tracy Morgan.
Oh, before Tracy Moore.
Damn, I can't think of it right now.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The dude that he played in the Fog of the...
They made the character...
He played in Grown Ups. He played in Grown Ups.
Not Chris Rock, no.
Not Grown Ups. Remember, he played in Grown Ups. He was the other guy who had a kid. Like, what?
It's driving me... I need somebody to tweet it right now. It's driving me crazy. Because they made a movie out of this character. It was a terrible movie, but he was a funny character.
He's a little sly dude. I got the right dude. He's played That's what he did.
No, Tim Meadows was the kid. Yeah, thank you. Dina Hand. Yeah, Tim Meadows.
He played
but
what
was the... Ladies man. Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Tommy P got it. Ladies man. Like, you heard his voice, right? Sorry.
That's my favorite one when it was him and his wife. Yeah.
John is in Clifton. John, what's happening, man?
I thought it was Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris goes back to the 70s. No, this was definitely Tim Meadows, and it was the ladies' man.
I go back to the 60s. What can I tell you?
Okay, no, all good.
You know what? Every day, probably might disagree with this, but every day that goes by, I am starting to believe that to Johnson, because they're the ones that run this team. Obviously, it's not Joe Douglas, because he's not a real general manager. He gets to make draft choices, but that's about it. You got to run everything past Woody and Christopher, which I would rather run it past my dog. I think he could run the team better. I think you're going to keep Gase, and I hate to say it because I'm disgusted, and I don't miss any games. I got to sit there and watch this garbage, but they're not going to get rid of him.
No, you know what you do? We were talking about this, John.
Every day that goes by, no.
John, we were talking about this before the show. What we were saying was you got to fire Gase almost before that Week 17 game against New England.
Yeah. Any normal owner.
Only because you don't want any motivation to win.
Eight games ago.
You want him to carry the L.
And he's doing the same thing with us.
Yeah, but he listen.
But you don't want to win right now.
And
John,
there he is on the sideline.
He's
but John. You don't want to win right now. Like you don't want to. Wait, John.
John's emotional
John,
right now.
This gives you the best chance to lose. Having him coach gives you the best chance to lose, which is why you don't fire him, because you want to lose. Secret's out. 0-16. You want that right now. You need that right now, and that's why he's still the coach.
Man, I saw your juggler. Remember old school? Like, dude, you took one right in the juggler, dude. Like, when you were saying that, your juggler got
you're
like
funny,
that.
Man. I like you. You're funny.
You guys are crazy.
You're crazy.
your juggler, I thought you was about to bust an aneurysm. But that's exactly right. Listen, when Mike Tannenbaum
comes
on.
He's all upset about every time I see him on the sideline. Every time I see him on the sideline, I'm like, good.
They are
one
not,
step closer to Trevor Lawrence.
They are not going to keep Adam Gase. Like, you listen, when Mike Tannenbaum comes on and say... You
know, he kind of acknowledges it, too, didn't he?
He like,
yeah, he knows.
He go, he's rooted for Gase
because
they work with each other. Like, yeah, it's a worst-kept secret. But listen, the thing is, like, what they're saying is, hey, and Joe Douglas is saying, and what the Johnsons are saying is, if I got to watch this crap, you got to watch it, too. I'm not about to pay you for 3 years, and you about to go sit on the beach and have fun
and
talking
else
about...
take those L's.
Yeah, put them L's on Loggins or Greg Williams. No, my friend. You're going to have to get up there and say... You know, what we've been doing, like, he called a play, and then I signaled it in, and he said, but we were watching him the whole time. Well, y'all was watching him? Like, yeah, man, it's always somebody watching. You know what I mean? So now he wants to come out with his concession speech. And I'm sure we'll get into that in the next hour.
That's what we're going to do.
That's a whole conversation. I'm not going to spoil it. But anyway, going back to Dave Gettleman, Dave Gettleman may be able to save his job, but I don't think so because, you know, you think about, you know, the Giants, they always want to have stability. They really haven't had stability. I wonder, because you think about, you know, Dimitroff that's out there. You think about Lewis Riddick that's out there. Do you want to get a young general manager that can grow with this young football coach that you have? Because you know at some point you're going to be moving on for Gettleman just because he's an older gentleman regardless. So you may want to go ahead and make that move, and it's the proper time where the fan base will accept you and allow you to make that move because they're so split. Now, if they mess around and win a division and they start winning games next year, then it's going to be hard to get rid of his old butt. So you might want to get rid of him now so that you can get a successor.
How dare
and be
you.
Able to say, I'm discriminating against age.
No, it's not that. It's the fact that you want to get rid of a guy because you don't want to see the team have success and him have that success.
No, you can still have that success.
It's my team. I built this team. That's what I'm telling you. I'm not saying I'm advocating he stays. I'm just saying if I'm him, I'm like looking at people going, now that the fruits of my labor are starting to show, now you want me out of here. I'm sorry. Nobody bats 1,000 when it comes to drafts and free agency. You don't bat 1,000. But if you build a team good enough to be competitive and trending in the right direction and you hire the right coach, you're doing the right thing.
It's like John Gruden, right? You let Tony Dungy get all these teams, set the culture, leave, and you win the Super Bowl with his players.
Oh, you want to do that?
Take all the credit.
It's also Barry Switzer, right? You're talking about that. Okay. Listen to this first and foremost from Adam Gase yesterday. It sounds like a mea culpa. It sounds like he's already speaking in past tense. And again, we had that previous caller that just sick of seeing him on the sidelines. Adam sounds like he's also sick of being on the sidelines. And it's a matter of time. I think we all can agree. But when asked about the one job, like you had one job, and that is to develop Sam Darnold, he said this about what he was supposed to do and how it went.
I came here to help him develop his career, and we haven't been able to do that. And, you know, that's why every game is so important, is keep trying to help him grow, keep trying to help him, you know, develop and see things the way that he needs to see them and play the way that I've seen him play in certain games. We need to do things well, you know, around him. But at the same time, it's on me to get him to play better than what he's played. And, you know, right so far, I haven't done a good enough job. You know, we got to do a better job as a staff. We got to put these guys in the best position possible, and then those guys got to go execute. I mean, it's on all of us. I mean, we all have to do a better job, and we have to find a way to put the ball in the end zone.
So far, I haven't done it.
So
basically
far.
What he's saying, I haven't done it with him. Now, again, availability is everything, and Sam has had issues just staying available for his team. That is a big part of it, too. So it's not just on the fact that they didn't get him better. It's that he also has had times where he's been off the field for various reasons. And, you know, they haven't had a consistent amount of time. But they've also had injuries at other positions that haven't allowed him to play up to his potential. But it still, to me, comes down to coaching. He still looks like a quarterback that at times is confused. It doesn't have a great grasp for what's happening. And maybe it's, remember, they had to peel back the playbook. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, this was not a match, not a good match whatsoever. And Gase is not a quarterback developer at all. He's made that pretty clear. He needs an established quarterback. He can't have a guy who's young. That's just what he is. And so they'll have to now figure it out whether Sam's part of the future or not is now the next question. And Adam Schefter seems to have an answer for that question. This is from SportsCenter. Take a listen.
Listen, when you have a winless season the way the Jets are in the midst of right now, the two people that always come front and center to the criticism are the coach and the quarterback. And I think that most people don't believe that Adam Gase is going to be the New York Jets head coach into next season. And most people wonder if Sam Darnold will be there. And if the Jets finish with the top pick in the draft or the top two picks, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields are sitting there, most people believe they go in that direction. And that means that Sam Darnold's playing somewhere else and the new Jets quarterback is being coached by somebody else. That's where we're at in this season. When you don't win a game and you're into December, the coach and the quarterback are going to be called into question. That's been the case in New York, and that's what the New York Jets fans want to know. When are the New York Jets making the coaching change?
Bar, you'd probably say it's the Monday after Week 17?
Yeah, Black Monday. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to your point, I think it is something to be said about maybe cutting him the week before so that you can, you know, maybe jump on some of these college guys or guys who don't currently have a job so you can start the process earlier than the other teams because you have competition.
Point.
And this may be more competition than we've ever seen for a head coach. You think about the Lions. You think about the Atlanta Falcons. You think about the Houston Texans. We know that it potentially can be some more. You look at potentially the Jacksonville Jaguars. You look at all these potential openings and you say, you know what, I don't want to be caught with my third or fourth, you know, pick. I want to be able to go out there and be able to interview some guys early because there's sometimes the early bird gets the worm. If you're waiting for somebody that's already coaching, you may not be able
there's
to
four
interview
jobs
them.
Open. Right.
Yeah, you may not be able to interview them until the AFC Championship when your head coach, current head coach, gives you the permission. You know, in light of you think about the guy from Tennessee, the offense coordinator of Tennessee Titans. Like, so you may not be able to interview him to see if engage his interest before that. We know that Eric the Enemy is a guy that you're going to have a wink-wink with because, mm-hmm. you know, for all indications, they're going to be one of the last teams standing. So that means that you have to have an understanding, hey, this is your job. Are you going to take it well before that? To do that, you got to have an opening to be able to try and use some of those back-channel kind of conversations that you're going to have. But if you have any hopes of going to get maybe a John Harbaugh, and I always say a Jim Harbaugh, mm-hmm. or if you're thinking about maybe a David Shaw, you're thinking about the guy out in Northwestern, you're going to have some availability. To do that, you got to cut your coach, and you don't want your coach messing it up out of spite, going for some triple, go for it on fourth down stuff, triple flea flicker, fumble.
Well, if
risky.
Anybody's invested in trying to win that last game or any of these last games, it would be Adam and it would be Sam, especially Sam. Sam, like, you think Sam is in his back of his mind going, well, let's, you know, I want to get a win so that they don't draft my replacement.
Exactly.
Like, he's playing for his life right now. And that is obviously something that, you know, we'll talk about as we get deeper into the season. All right, let's grab a couple of calls before we get to Blitz and Prevent. Dave and Elizabeth, go ahead, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Listen, I'm like an NA meeting. I'm going to start off by saying I'm a sick and suffering Jet.
My name is Dave, and I'm a Jet fan.
Yeah, I'm a
Hi, Dave.
Jets fan. How you doing? But you know what? My expectations came in low this season. All I wanted was to see them score at least 20 points a game. I wasn't even thinking about the wins or the losses. I just wanted to see some offense. Because last year, when the quarterback, when he was out with Mono, I think we scored like 6 points in like five games. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I really want, I'm glad they didn't fire him yet, Gase. I want his resume to be so terrible. If anyone touched this guy after this, they need to go and get fired sooner they hire him.
That's a question, you know, Dave, and thanks for the call. That's a question, I think, when we were talking to Tannenbaum. Or was it after we were talking to Tannenbaum? Did you say it? Like, where is he ever going to coach again?
He can only be a quarterback whisperer. He can be, like, head coach.
How? He couldn't develop a quarterback who everybody thought had the chance to be, you know, an exceptional quarterback at this level, and he hasn't done it with him.
Yeah, you're right.
So if you can't get Sam Darnold to play at a high level in two years.
Yeah.
Then how do I and obviously Tannehill's been better since he left playing for you. Then how can I trust you with a young quarterback? So I just think you'd put him on a team where you have vets.
Tell me this. Controversial figure.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant mind.
Oh boy.
What do you think about Lane Kiffin?
He's trying to get right. He's trying to get back in Florida Atlantic.
He's in Florida Atlantic, right?
Well, he's trying to rebuild as best as he can. You're right. He is controversial,
but he's brilliant mind.
Would you into the league, into the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you.
I think he'd come running for the money. There's no question.
Yeah, you're thinking about all these places where you know these young minds can come. I mean, for me, I always say Dallas. If they decide to go away from McCarthy, I mean, you want to see if you can get.
Are you talking about head coach?
Yeah, he's crazy, but no. I'm just saying. No. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's ever pushed Nick Saban's buttons as bad as this dude. Think about what Al Davis said. You know, but it's crazy, though. What's the kid down in Oklahoma? I forget the defense.
Lincoln Riley?
Lincoln Riley? Like, I mean, because you have to prepare yourself that if...
Kiffin, by the way, is at Mississippi now.
Oh, man.
He's at Ole Miss.
Jeez, he's everywhere.
Yeah, no, he's at Ole Miss, and he got 4 million reasons to stay there a year.
Yeah, never.
And I don't. Yeah, no, he moved on from Florida Atlantic pretty quickly. He's back in the game, but and I believe that. Yeah, I'm just going to go no on that one.
What about Lincoln Riley?
I think Lincoln Riley's job to have would be Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be his job to have. That Dallas would be the most obvious place for him to go.
But with Trevor Lawrence.
New York, not so much.
But Trevor Lawrence, the type of offense that he would like to run.
I need to know if they have a relationship. Like, if they have any type of relationship, like, did he recruit him? Did they have any type?
No, it don't have to be a relationship. What I'm saying is what he does out there in Oklahoma can be modified to fit Trevor Lawrence is basically what he does.
I got you.
With Dabo.
Kingsbury and Kyler,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Could we get that type of synergy?
Well, we shall see. But you know what? We've got games to talk about this week.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, we do. So let's get into it right now. You ready? We got four games to break down.
Let's do it.
From Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, now let's keep in mind, because this is another weird week with scheduling, we're only focusing on Sunday's games. We got some good ones after the weekend, of course. Monday, you've got the doubleheader. You got the Washington-Pittsburgh game. And then you got the night game, the Monday Night Football game, which is Bills-Niners. Then Tuesday, Cowboys-Ravens. That's all because of last week's COVID adjustments. So we'll get to those games when we get to next week, when we get to Monday. But right now, let's just focus on the Sunday games. Okay, so here we go. First game, Jaguars at Vikings. Jags are 1-10, as we mentioned. Vikings 5-6. After their good start, they've kind of leveled off. 1 o'clock kickoff. Vikings are favored by 10. All right, so you know why we're focusing on this game, right, Bart?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's go, Jags. Let's go. Every game is critical. Mike Glennon is named the starter after he had a competent performance last week in a losing effort to the Browns. Gardner Minshew's healthy and available, but Minshew mania has been put on the shelf. Jacksonville clearly believes that Glennon, as coaches always say, gives us the best opportunity to win. In fact, that's exactly what Doug Marrone said, just not with that accent because he's not from the South.
You sound like a college recruiter, man.
We think he gives us the best chance to win.
Make him understand.
But Marrone did say that. Win what? The number one pick? Is that what you're trying to win? Because just as hard as we're rooting for Jacksonville to win just one more game to eliminate them as a threat to the tank for Trevor train, they're hoping the Jets find a way to get a dub and create the tie that goes to them and they get sunshine. By the way, how about the career of Mike Glennon? Listen to this. He's 30 years old. He's on his fifth team in eight seasons. He's appeared in only 30 games, and yet he's made over $30 million in his career. That's a hell of a run, kid.
God bless America.
God bless America. All right, anyways, Blitz and Prevent. The Vikings are obviously the better team, and they have Thielen back, and they're still playing for a wild card spot. But still, this game's at 10 points. Is begging me to take Jacksonville, or am I just picking with emotion right now?
You're not, man, because Jacksonville, you know, played well the other week. They have a young running back that played well. I think he ran for, like, against the Browns, I think he averaged like 5.8 yards a carry. Mike Glennon can play well in spurts. He's a big quarterback with a cannon for arm. He's a deer. It's stuck in headlights, though. And but the thing is, you think about the Vikings. I thought the Vikings were trying to concede the season once they traded Yannick Ngakoue. Right. Why would you get him? No need to trade him, you know, to the Ravens for picks. So the Vikings are playing a lot better. Kirk Cousins playing a lot better. It's not a primetime game, so that means Kirk Cousins is going to be an all-pro. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't be surprised if they lose this game because they play up and play down in the competition sometimes. Ooh. And the Vikings are so inconsistent.
Yeah, now you're teasing me. Now you're making me think.
Dalvin Cook's a beast, though. He's trying to go for that scoring title.
Yeah.
Maybe for that rushing title.
That's an interesting game. If you're a Jets fan, you always want to keep an eye on that score now because you just need that breathing room because you never know. All right, next game up. Browns 8-3, Titans 8-3, 1 o'clock kickoff. Tennessee favored by 5.5. Both teams coming into this game on a roll, Bart. The Browns have won three straight, four of the last five, and they're second in the AFC North now.
Yep.
This is their best season in a long, long, long time. The Titans have been beating the brakes off some of these really good teams lately. What they did to the Colts' defense is emasculating. I mean, let's be honest. We've got yet another battle of attrition between two teams that play that brutal running style. Tennessee, of course, Derrick Henry, who made roadkill of several Indianapolis defenders last week. The Browns have that tandem of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. You talk about them all the time. They're both on pace to eclipse 1,000 yards rushing this season. And then they get Myles Garrett back from the COVID list. So Blitz or Prevent. The Browns need this game more than the Titans. The Titans are sitting atop the AFC South. Cleveland isn't likely to catch the Steelers for the division. This game's massive, massive wild card implications for them.
No, it's important because we talk about how the Ravens have an easy schedule. And one of those games, the toughest game that they have left on their schedule, is the Browns. Outside of that, you know, it's like the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's the Bengals. So then they can find themselves in third place, which can find themselves looking outside into the playoffs. Now, they're on course, and, you know, 8-3 is good. But if you lose three or four of those last three games, you can find yourself being one of those things like, oh, we thought the Browns were for real, but they're not. And once again, it's going to fall right at the feet of Baker Mayfield, who right now has more wins than commercials, but it's pretty damn close. We know that Ryan Tannehill can when you take away Derrick Henry for a little while, he can make throws down the field. We don't know if Baker Mayfield can do that. You talk about these are the first and second rushing attacks in all of football. They do it differently, but they're both physically bruising and Derrick Henry just does it on his own. And you think about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are amazing. So at some point, Cleveland and Baker Mayfield is going to have to make a throw. But it's definitely more important for Cleveland because they're in second place, maybe going to end up in third place. Where you think about the Titans, they're taking care of business. They beat the Colts, so they beat them twice. So they have all the tiebreakers. And it's going to be hard for the Colts to catch them. So definitely Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, no question. All right, next game up, another good one, another important one. Rams at 7-4 at the Cardinals at 6-5. 4 o'clock kickoff. Rams favored on the road, favored 2.5. 2 weeks ago, Kyler Murray scoffed at talk of division standings. Now, he's literally a miracle catch by DeAndre Hopkins away from being in a four-game losing streak. Kyler, Cliff, and the Cards need a win badly, not to just stay in the NFC West battle, but to stay relevant in the wild card standings as well. Truth be told, the NFC's so bad, it would take an absolute tailspin for Arizona to fall out. But that recent slide has to be concerning, and the Niners and Vikings are lurking, Bart. Meanwhile, Sean McVay called out his quarterback, Jared Goff. Sloppy three-turnover performance in that loss to the 49ers. And Goff, I give him credit. He responded accordingly. He said he's absolutely right. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. That's good to see. They have that kind of relationship. Meanwhile, Kyler Murray, your favorite player. Mm-hmm. He needs to stay on the run if he's going to avoid Aaron Donald. And oh, by the way, you're no longer the only radio personality that has criticized Kyler Murray.
Oh, really?
There is also a Fox radio personality out there in Arizona who has called him an imposter and a pretender. which of course has everybody triggered out there in the desert.
Kind of, sort of what?
Yeah. Okay. So, no, a little beyond it. Took it a little further. Anyway, Blitz or Prevo?
Really?
Both quarterbacks have something to prove in this game, but I trust Goff more than I trust Murray.
Well, I trust McVay. I mean, both boy wonders, you think about it, is like, mm-hmm. you know, the tale of the handsome, articulate young head coaches with their little mastermind offenses. And, you know, remember, McVay was the first boy wonder. Now you think about, what's his name again? Yeah, him.
Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury. You know, the guy who got fired from USC.
He's
you know,
so,
some guys just be winning, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's one of the things, though. Like, sometimes the bloom falls off of the rose, and I think that sometimes can happen. This is a long season, so I never get excited when I see somebody playing well in a season and when everything is great. What concerned me is it looks like, you know, maybe Kyler Murray internalizes the hate, or he internalizes the hard coaching or the blame more than what Goff is. Goff's just used to it. It rolls off his shoulders. And if you're harnessing and harboring some of those ill feelings for what people say when it gets bad and not taking ownership of it and just letting it fall off your shoulders, then it's going to affect you. And I think that's going to start to affect Kyler Murray just a little bit because he's easily agitated. Not understanding that, listen, you got a pocket full of money. You're the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You're going to get paid $100 million or something in a couple of next couple of years.
He's treated Bart in that market with kid gloves, man. God forbid you criticize him. I think it's the wrong. And you've said this. You're the quarterback. You're the leader. And this team hasn't been good in a while. They need you. You have to. So these are the games that you got to start leading. These are the games. And that's why I don't know if I trust him because of what you said about him that I've paid more attention to now. When you watch the huddle and you watch everything else, is he a leader? Or is he just a really good, you know, a really good athletic player? And Goff has to step up as a leader of this team because, boy, that'd be a big win also for the Rams and where they are. Consider what happens with the Seahawks. All right, last game. Eagles, yes, I know. 3-7-1 at Packers.
Eagles.
8-3. 4:25 is the kickoff. Packers are favored by 8.5. And yes, I know it seems like we feature the Eagles every week, but this is no longer about the bumbling, stumbling NFL East. This is really about the franchise now. This is about the Eagles' stability. They just won a Super Bowl recently, and now they look like they're a mess. And while Aaron Rodgers and the Pack are looking to take one step closer to locking up the NFC North, the Eagles are in a three-game slide that has dropped them to that 3-7-1 record, and they're in third place now in the NFC East. So you have Carson Wentz, who's regressed so much in year five that the offense is basically a season low 17 points in each of the last 3 weeks. Doug Peterson now, is he on the hot seat? Listen to this. He's received no assurances, he said, from the front office, and that he's going to keep his job or that he'll keep his job for the remainder of the season. But he said he's not going there mentally when it comes to job security. He said, I've been around the league a long time, 25 years, and I believe as a player and a coach, we're always based and evaluated on our performance. And right now, that's obviously not my concern as far as the decision goes. That's out of my hands. What's in my hands is control of getting the team prepared and ready to play Green Bay this weekend. Peterson did also say that temporarily giving up the play calling is on the table. And that's the first time he's ever even talked about that. But he suggested that wasn't imminent, and still, you lose another game, and really, they start to fade an already faded division, and then you start wondering, would they really move on from their head coach? So here's my Blitzer Preven for you, Bart. I want to know why we're not hearing more about Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
Why is this all on Doug Peterson? And if he does get fired, do you consider him for the Jets?
I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he's supposed to be one of these offensive masterminds. You think about this Andy Reid tree. He was with him out there in Kansas City when they were setting the foundation. You have Eric the Enemy out there. You have Matt Nagy out there. You know, so now people are starting to put more respect on Andy Reid's coaching tree. But it's one of those things where Howie Roseman did go out there and he went all in. They pushed all their chips into the middle of the table to win a championship. And guess what? They got it. And Philly's forever grateful that they had they were the last team within the division that didn't have a championship. Washington had a couple. Dallas had a couple. The Giants had three or four. You know what I mean? They were the only ones sitting there, you know, without a ring. And they got that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they got that. So, like, you know, Howie Roseman going to say, well, what the hell you wanted me to do? You told me to go out there and go get the players to win a championship. We got it done. We beat the Patriots. And, you know, so this is what you get. So, yeah, we got the quarterback of the future, but the coach doesn't believe in him anymore. And maybe it was more about the players that Howie Roseman was getting
They're in a
$64 million over the cap next year.
They got old on the line. They did not replace. There's a lot of mistakes that were made there with the roster. I don't know why this is on Peterson. And I also think you wasted a draft pick on Jalen Hurts. You wasted a draft pick on Jalen Hurts.
Okay, let's just say, okay, you did on Jalen Hurts. What about Riegler? They pass on Justin Jefferson. He's only like leading the league damn near receiving. And they got Alshon Jeffries that look like he has two uniforms on for a receiver set. I'm thinking he's a damn tight end. This dude jumped up and you couldn't put paper underneath his feet. So, I mean, Howie Roseman has to take credit for that accountability, but the ownership got what they wanted. So, Laurie and them got it.
Oh, I get it, but why? Again,
Carson Wentz is going to be there. So, that's the problem.
If he
don't like Carson Wentz, and he's throwing Carson Wentz repeatedly under the bus, he didn't defend him when Brett Favre said something. Then he had this whole little wordplay thing. Ah, well, we'll see. Well, if you're that insecure, so you know what? You go because we owe him. Right. He's got a $50 million cap hit if you cut Carson Wentz.
So, he's not going anywhere. So, all right, so just quickly then, would you consider him for the Jets if he does get fired? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. He said begrudgingly. Let's get right to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, so we said it yesterday. We briefly talked about it, but Anthony Davis also signed his extension now with the Lakers, so he's locked up for next 5 years or after next year, 5 years, like 190, I think the number was. He's there. LeBron locked up with his extension, and now with the gang back and some new pieces, including Trez that they took from the Clips, they got a little bit younger, too, with Dennis Schroeder. They like their group, and Anthony Davis believes, just like LeBron said, they have a chance to do it again. Run it back.
I'm very motivated. I want to do it again. When we won a Western Conference Finals, Bron said, just wait till you win a championship and you hold that trophy. You know, your love for winning just grows. And ever since holding that trophy, I just want to do it again. You know, you want to hold that trophy over and over and over, and you get addicted to winning. So I want that feeling again. I want to be able to hold that Larry O'Brien trophy again and you know, become a meme where I'm crying and people are using it for everything. So those are good memes. So I'm ready to get started again. I'm ready to get with this group of guys and get back to work to be able to, you know, hoist one of those trophies again.
I mean, they're talking about it. They're putting it out there. They're not even trying to duck away from it. Oh, well, you know, everybody's got to play hard. No. We want to get another title. And I'll tell you what, Bart, here's why you're extra motivated. This title, while it's legit, doesn't feel like a title when confetti's coming down and there's nobody in the building.
Yeah, no bubble, yeah.
Like, you want to win one with Staples packed. And by July, you could have a packed Staples, you know, and you could raise the trophy then. So I think that's got to be the motivation of have the full championship experience and, of course, win another title. Do you think they can do it, though, Bart?
Of course. I mean, they're going to get minimum resistance. I mean, I think right now, if you had to say what team would you trust to maybe be there at the end, I would maybe say the most I have confidence in is maybe the Denver Nuggets. It's a team that I maybe have the most confidence in, being able to kind of maybe, you know, give them, you know, take the next step. They got beat by them before. See if they can take the next step. I mean, the Clippers, maybe. I mean, didn't they go get Nick Batum? I don't know what he's able to do as far as adding, you know,
guess they're
adding
healthy.
On. Yeah, I don't know what he can do, but they're trying to reload it, go get Serge Ibaka, but I still don't believe in that team. The team I had the most confidence with maybe giving them a run was the Golden State Warriors, but without no Clay, I don't have that anymore, so that's why we need Harden to go balance the scales, because then if you have those two matchups, you got New York and you have L.A. I don't care if it's not the Knicks, it's still New York, L.A., and that's how it'll be sold, and you talk about the cross-country flights. You know, you think about pack houses, you talk about the black versus the gold, you know what I mean? You talk about that type of selling that symbolism, like the urban hip-hop bastion over here, and then you got the Showtime. Well,
the KD versus LeBron finals.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's
LeBron, and that would be KD's third. He would tie LeBron.
No.
The LeBron got four titles?
Yeah.
Damn it.
You said that with such a smile on your face.
KD got three.
Run that
KD
back.
KD got two. KD got two.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, he'll close the distance.
Close it. All right. Close the distance. That's all good. But NBA season starts pretty soon, and we'll get to see these guys actually in action and see what these teams look like. But the league looks a little bit different this time around. Meanwhile, the NFL is going to look different in a couple of weeks. And the Seahawks might also look different, as Josh Gordon has been conditionally reinstated, but not until the last 2 weeks of the 2020 season. And that's according to the NFL announced this yesterday. So he's allowed to begin his COVID-19 testing Friday, and he could join the Seahawks if he tests negative and be part of meetings and workouts and strength and conditioning. But he can't practice, travel or with the team or attend games until December 21st, which is week 15. Gordon's happy to be back again, and here's Russell Wilson on the addition of Josh.
You know, I think the thing with Josh is that, you know, he's an amazing receiver, a guy who's great last year for us, made some great plays. Obviously, he's been a great player over his years, you know, and all that. But I think more than anything else is a testament, hopefully, to just his growth, you know, and in life. You know, you always want to see people, you know, overcome and, you know, overcome challenges and everything else. So the great thing is we're a great football team. We're 8-3. We got some great receivers. To add another great receiver, like, you always want to continue to build your football team. That's the reality of just professional sports. But, you know, so I think he'll make some key plays for us, and we'll see how he does.
You get another chance, Bart. Does it work this time?
I mean, I don't know how many more opportunities you want this young man to be able to receive. You think that maybe that's a comfortable environment in which he can flourish. I know he says, again, that he's, you know, exercised those demons. You know, whenever you have addiction issues, I mean, rock bottom, you don't know when somebody's rock bottom is their rock bottom. But you're hoping, you're rooting for this kid outside of, you know, just sports. You just want him to be okay and be a functional member of society. You would think if any team can do it, it'd be one that's like this, the Seahawks, that, you know, have taken some off-brand, colorful personalities in the past. And he definitely can help him. Remember, before Metcalf was a freak, Josh Flash Gordon was a freak.
Yep.
He was the guy that was 220, that was, you know, leading the league in receiving and only playing 14 games, going against, you know, with Cleveland quarterbacks. If he's on, then that gives him just another big body to throw the ball to and creates another opportunity for Russell Wilson to put one of those moon balls up. So, I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, you anticipated because you heard rumblings about this. And if he's right, that just makes him more formidable. And that's what I said. I said that Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks are the team from the NFC that I trust the most, because I think they're figuring it out a little bit on defense. But Russell still can put 30 points on anybody.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the Giants have to worry about, obviously, this weekend. All right, last but not least. So on Fridays, Bart is one of the stars on ESPN's TV in the morning, and Get Up being one of them. His regular appearances on Get Up each day. Each Friday, you can check him out there for sure. You and your former teammate Mark Sanchez, both together on the set. And this was an interesting conversation because you guys were talking about the Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts dynamic that I've talked about as well. We've talked about it this week. And Mark Sanchez says that he's got similar experience to it, brought this up, and then he brought up his experience, and you jumped in and said, obviously, you're that guy that says things that we all think.
Yep.
And says things that we maybe are hesitant to say. You're not you're the habitual line stepper, and Mark Sanchez, in this moment, you could tell, let you go ahead and say what he knows he can't say. Take a listen.
Bart remembers this too, but we did this with Brad Smith. We ran a lot of Wildcat. We had a whole package for him. We also tried to do this with Tim Tebow. And the differences there were, you know, the guy that's goes in for the quarterback, Taysom Hill going in for Drew Brees. As long as that person, you know, isn't infringing on that starter's real estate to, like, take that starting job, then there's no issues. We know this is a gadget thing. We work on this. We are dedicated to it. We worked on it in the offseason, you know, ad nauseum, really. And the idea was this is going to help our offense, our rushing attack. And it did. When Tim came in, we didn't spend nearly as much time on task, and it was nobody's fault other than the coaching staff, really, because it's not Tim's fault. He's coming in doing everything he can. I'm going in doing everything I can to be the starter. And it didn't help either of us, because now this other guy coming in is kind of infringing on the starter's real estate, and that's just the situation, right? It's nobody's fault. But right now they draft Jalen Hurts, and he comes nobody's in fault. To do some of the same things that maybe Carson Wentz does. Now you're sending mixed messages, not just to Carson Wentz, who's, you know, at this point a little fragile, and the entire team, the organization, the fan base. Nobody knows what's going on. So if you're not really practicing that, if you're not dedicated to that, and he's coming in to throw a quick out, what is that?
Let's just take the gray out, Mark. Tim Tebow was coming. He believed that he could take your job. Brad Smith understood that his role was to be a part of the offense, not to be the offense. So it was the fact that when they brought in Tim Tebow, he didn't realize that he was coming in to replace Brad Smith. He thought he was coming in to replace you. So it was an uncomfortable situation because Tim saw himself as a starter when you were the starter and unquestioned leader of the team. And Tim just messed it all up.
No, I didn't say that.
You guys don't.
I didn't say that.
Well, first, Greeny the Jet fan was like, Tim works for us. Mark's like, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. And you're like, I did.
I'm tired of Bart,
that's essentially what happened. You were there. You saw.
Yeah, listen, I'm from the other side. Like, Tim thought that he was a star. He had just as many people at his locker as Mark Sanchez had. He was a backup quarterback. He thought he was going to come in, wait for Mark to struggle, be able to get in and make that controversy, and it made it uncomfortable. Because, like, listen, man, we had a good thing going over here. We've been to two AFC championships in a row, and, you know, we're trying to get to a third, but you don't want to play your role. We missed Brad Smith. We admitted that we let him go, and it hurt us. You know what I mean? And we missed that part of the offense. We want that back because, you know, Tim Tebow had just beaten us the year before when he only completed like 9 balls, had like 1 first down on a Thursday night, and we lost the game because he made 1 play on a 0 blitz, and we ended up losing that game. So, you know, I thought that maybe their eyes got a little too big for him to say, ooh, wow, that'd be great for him to come in and replace Brad Smith.
That rainy day when he jogs with his shirt off.
Thinking what's the dude, Dable Hasselhoff, you know what I mean?
Oh, what? The cameras are watching me?
Listen, I know people think that, you know, we did it for TV purposes, that we slowed the camera down. No, he was running like that in slow motion. That's how he was running. He was doing that in slow motion because he wasn't secure. He didn't think, he didn't know, in fact, that if the regular cameras would slow it down. Like, come on, Timmy.
Well, it is what it is, but that was a reality of that season, and we saw it.
I'm all the way too real, man.
I know, but that's good because Mark was trying to, like, talk about how, it was nobody's fault, and you're like, no. That definitely hurt us. And I thought it was a really, really good segment by you.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, let's go with week 13. And we've got to pick the locals. And then we each get, it's what we do all the time, and then we each pick our game that we go from around the league. It's been a while since we've had Jets and Giants same time on a Friday, so this is good. So we get those two, and then we got our own picks as well. And it's not going to be easy this week, I'm telling you. This was a tough one for me. Record-wise, I suck. So Jets and Giants. Let's go Jets first, Bart. Jets, again, hosting the Raiders. The line is 8.5 in favor, obviously, of the Raiders. Complete disrespect for the home team Jets. Just kidding. I have very little hesitation here. Laying the 8.5 and going Vegas and just rooting for another L for Gangrene. You?
That's good looking, man. Like, listen, I don't care what the spread is. I know you're going to have a pissed off Raiders team that's coming in that has playoff aspirations. They're a physical team. I think they're going to come out. They're going to do what they have to do. Derek Carr's been playing great. You know, you talk about the blemish on the Kansas City Chiefs record. It came at the hands of that team. And Darren Waller is one of the best young tight ends in the game. So I think that they come in, they get it done, and it's no slight to the Jets. They just don't have enough people to be effective. Now, that defense for the Raiders isn't great, but I think, you know, 8 points, I think they'll win by, you know, a couple scores. I think it can be tight for a little bit. I hope Sam Darnold doesn't struggle, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, it's sad state. I will watch the game. You have to.
Yeah.
You'll be on SNY.
Yeah, contractually obligated.
Giving away those Fs. All right, Giants at Seattle, a game we led with today that we talked about how it's a really interesting game for the Giants. The status of Daniel Jones, even though he's going to try to go through practice today, and we don't know yet. So because we don't know about Daniel Jones, to me, it creates now a dip. This is one I would normally stay away from this because of the unknown, but because we have to pick it. Right now, it's Seattle laying 10. They're home. And I got to go with Seattle because of the unknown. I don't know if Daniel Jones can play. And without him and Colt McCoy, I can't believe that that offense can keep up. So I have to take Seattle, even though my heart wants to say the Giants are going to keep this close and possibly could win if Daniel Jones is playing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take Seattle. I don't care if it was 12, 20. I just think, you know, traveling all the way out to Seattle is like the farthest distance of any location you can go from the East Coast. You know what I mean? And it's a tough place to play. I know it doesn't have fans in it, but just to travel on your body trying to figure it out. Now, I understand, especially without, you know, Daniel Jones potentially being there, Russell Wilson's back on that groove. He's back on that MVP type of grind. And so great players have this thing where they understand when it's winning time and they start to lock in. You see a different level of intensity and preparation, and I think that's where he is. You know, so I think that Russell Wilson's going to try and make a late push for the MVP. I know Mahomes kind of took it over. Russ was leading it early on. You know, Josh Allen's leading it early on. I think that Russ is going to come and say, hey, man, I know I've never gotten an MVP vote before, but guess what? I'm doing something special over here.
So, again, that game frustrates me because of the unknown. Okay, so those are the locals. The game I'm going to take, it's Colts-Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Colts on the road, and they're given 3.5. I'm taking the Colts here, and it might seem like that's an obvious one, but I'll take the obvious.
Yeah, no way.
Because what happened to them last week, and they were embarrassed.
Yeah.
Embarrassed. And they're not made of a type. They're not. You could tell the type of team that is. That is not a team now that will wallow in this. That you could tell that that's a game. They couldn't do anything with Derrick Henry. There were a couple of mistakes that were easily fixed. The Texans have been playing better, but still, that Colts team is a tough team, and they will bounce back. And they know they need this win. It's a very important game for them. So I'm taking the Colts on the road. I'm giving the points, and I'm going to enjoy watching this because the Colts are going to bounce back in this game. Firmly believe on it.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a smart play. Deshaun Watson, 24 touchdowns, only 6 turnovers. He's one of the best players that nobody's going to get an opportunity to see because nobody cares because they suck everywhere else outside of him. No Will Fuller as well. So, you know, going in down there, I think you're right on point. What the game I'm going to take the Saints versus the Atlanta Falcons. I know you're like, oh, Bar,
here you go again.
You won't give up.
You just want more wings. You're all about the wings. You're Magic City. Your whole thing here.
Give me the lemon lose.
Give me the lemon lose.
I tell you what, like it's just this Atlanta team frustrates me, but they're playing well for their coach. And we talk about Eric Enemy going there. I think that you look at it, the fact that they might keep Raheem Morris, but you look at him. Taysom Hill threw the ball 9 times last week for 78 yards. I'm not concerned with that. I don't care what the points is. I think that they'll be able to cover because I don't think that you can continue to win that way, especially if Matty Ice is on and he's able to hit some of those receivers. So I think that, you know, I like the Falcons, man. I think I'm going to go with them for one last time. Let it ride.
All right, that's our picks for the week, and we'll see how we do. Again, like I said, there's some good games Monday and Tuesday as well, so we'll break all that stuff down on Monday. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, it's been an interesting week. Once again, we hope we can get through these games without any more COVID issues, and the NFL tries to get closer and closer to the playoffs. And, by the way, week from today, Bart, NBA preseason begins. Another sport now jumps into the fray, and we can see how that league does as well. So have a great weekend, everybody. Bart, see you Monday.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.